There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. It is overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 8:45. We'll turn it over to the second Monday Night Football game tonight. You can hear it right here on The Fan, also on the Team 980. Want to talk about this Commanders win yesterday, obviously. It was fantastic, winning 40-7, just absolutely dominating a team from the jump is something that I'm still not used to. I'm not used to watching this football team go out there and handle their business. And here's the thing. Normally, in a situation like this, We had a situation a couple weeks ago that we saw this team, they were in a prime spot for a letdown against the Cleveland Browns. You'd won a couple in a row, you had the Ravens on deck, you could be looking ahead, and they came out and they handled business, and they were able to bench their guys in the fourth quarter. That's how well they played. And once again, going into this Carolina game, coming off a loss in Baltimore, you felt a little bit of nervousness. It varied for a lot of people. Some people were pretty confident. I myself was pretty confident. But, you know, you heard people saying, okay, I'm not sure. Like, let's just see it. And people aren't fully trusting it yet. And it's understandable because we've had years of this football team coming into big spots. And not even necessarily just big spots, but opportunities where you felt like they were the better football team and they come out and lay an egg. And they came out yesterday and they had opportunities to even lay an egg and have an excuse. Their starting quarterback, the whole reason this season it feels like has gone as well as it has, the buzz of the league, a guy that's doing historic things as a rookie, and not even just as a rookie, but as an NFL quarterback, doing things that have only been done by a couple of people in terms of completion percentage and the rushing numbers to go along with the passing numbers. It's stuff that hasn't been done a whole lot of times. That guy left after one drive, and they were stuck with their backup quarterback. And we'll talk much more about Mariota because there's a very real possibility that you're watching Marcus Mariota for all four quarters against Chicago, and we're going to talk plenty about Jaden. We'll get you an update on his ribs. We'll play what Dan Quinn had to say, all those things. But they had a prime opportunity yesterday to do what we've seen this team do for so many years and just let you down big time. And not only did they win the football game yesterday with the backup quarterback playing a majority of the game, they dominated a football game. Dominated a football game. And I want to go back to something that Neil Greenberg, he's on with B. Mitch and Finley every single week. And he had something that he said going into the Ravens game. And I think it still applies here. Because I think when you look at this football team, they're doing what good football teams do. They're taking care of their business when it's in front of them. And when they have the opportunity to go out there and take on a team that, frankly, isn't very good, we knew that. We understood that. It's not like any of us were dumb and thought the Carolina Panthers had any real shot. But there's still that little bit of nervousness because it's your team. It's the same team that you've watched disappoint you Sunday after Sunday for years. It's the same team that has had big opportunities and failed time after time. It's the team that's had chances to go out there and beat a subpar football team. I mean, go back to last year around this same time and think of the excitement level if you were a fan. They started 2-0. They'd lost a game or two at that point, and you had Chicago coming in on a short week to FedEx Field at the time, and you felt good, right? You felt like, okay, we've got a shot here. You felt like this is a chance for this team to show something. And not only did they play horribly, they got obliterated. They got absolutely destroyed. They looked like they never had a shot. They looked like they were completely unprepared. And that didn't happen at all yesterday. Not only did they look completely prepared, they looked like they were going to handle their business from the jump. I mean, seriously, at what point did you doubt anything about whether this football team was going to win yesterday? I don't know that you did. I don't know that there was any singular point in the game yesterday other than maybe if you felt early on when they moved the ball before the pick six that, oh no, here we go. That's it. And that's what, four, five, six plays before all of a sudden it's okay. You know what? They're going to handle their business. They're going to be all right. They're going to be just fine. And that's what I want to go back to as I find this tweet from Neil Greenberg, from JP when he was talking with Neil Greenberg, basically saying that you just got to accept that this team might just be good. Like, I know that people are trying to, like, well, this, that. Like, I saw my guy Rick Snyder tweet out, like, is this team for real? Yeah, they're for real. They're 5-2. How could they not be for real and be 5-2? And they're doing the things that good football teams do. Yes, they haven't beat someone with a great record. I get all that. But they have teams on their schedule. They play who they've been scheduled to play. And the teams that they should beat, they have beaten. And they were right there in Baltimore. You know, we know how the NFL goes. We watch the Kansas City Chiefs play all the time. And if one thing changes for every Chiefs game, they would lose the football game. But they've learned how to win. This team is still learning how to win. But they were right there. If one play goes differently in Baltimore, two plays goes differently, we're talking about a 6-1 team. That's the reality of it. The week one game against Tampa, Jaden was nervous early. And even then, he started to settle in more. And basically what Greenberg had said here, reading from J.P. Finley, this is before the Baltimore game. He said, at some point, we have to acknowledge Washington is a good team, and that's hard for some people to acknowledge because of preseason expectations. And that's just, it's true. They're good. They're good. I know it feels weird to say that because you're like, oh, I'm going to jinx it. I'm going to put this team down. And I don't even want to put this disclaimer on it because it feels like I'm down to them. Maybe things change down the line at the end of the year. Maybe they adjust. We've seen Cliff Kingsbury have teams that started really well and teams adjust and they kind of go downhill in the second half of the year. I don't even want to throw that on there. I just think this football team is good because what you're seeing them do is what good football teams do. Think back to week two, even week two, where they didn't have their A game. It clearly wasn't the best. They didn't look like the team we saw out there yesterday. And they found a way to win, didn't they? Have you watched Kansas City this year? Have you watched them? Tell me how many impressive games they've played. Probably none. What's their record? 6-0. They find a way to win, even when it's not impressive. That's what they do. You find a way to win. I think that classifies in week two. Week three, that's a good football team in Cincinnati. I know the record doesn't show it, but you've watched them. They've played some good football games. They were right there with Baltimore as well. They're a solid football team, and we're just going off the track record of that team. Their defense isn't necessarily great, but that offense is playing at a really high level. To go into Cincinnati in that sort of environment with a rookie quarterback making his third career start and to win that football game, that's impressive. I know the record isn't great, but that's still, on paper, a decent football team. Probably still better than what you got out here. You found a way to win that football game. And then the next two games, Arizona, I don't think is that good. I don't think they're that good. And guess what? You demolished them. You absolutely demolished them, 42-14. Cleveland, we know they're not good. And they came out, and they were able to sit Jaden down in the fourth quarter because they demolished them. You go up to Baltimore, and it was close. You feel good about that game. Even though it's a loss, you feel good about that game. And then yesterday, once again, against a really, really bad opponent, borderline not even NFL caliber in some spots, you just took care of business. That's why the key to the game for me going into it wasn't, okay, do this, do this, do this. I don't need to break it all down for you. We all understand the run the ball, stop the run, win the turnover battle. We understand all the regular cliches of how to win a football game. We get all that. They just needed to go handle their business. You know what they did? They handled their business. And the message for DQ, I played this the other day on overtime, and this is why I feel like this team can keep going. It's just some of the stuff, even before the Baltimore game, we saw the Baltimore game not go their way, and then they came out and handled business. The message from DQ going into Baltimore was, this isn't a measuring stick game. We're going to worry about we got our own stuff going on. We're going to worry about ourselves. And so when you have that sort of mentality going into Baltimore's game, and you have that same mentality going into the Carolina game. Guess what? They worried about themselves, and they were going to handle their own business. You know how much better they are than Carolina? 40-7 better. Maybe even more if a few plays go differently. But they're that much better. And so they said, we don't need to worry about Carolina. We'll worry about ourselves. You know what they're going to worry about going into Chicago? They're not going to worry about Caleb Williams coming home. They're not going to worry about all this prolific, you know, three wide receiver stuff they got going on. They're not going to worry about the fact that it's potentially the number one versus the number two pick. No, they're going to worry about their own business. And when you worry about your own business, that keeps you from getting too high after the big wins, and that keeps you from getting too low after the big losses. It keeps you even keeled, and you worry about your own stuff. And I think that's what this team can do. If they worry about their own stuff, I don't think they're by any means the most talented roster in the league. But when you have the chemistry that you're starting to see built by this football team, the coaching, which, look, just being frank, how many people wanted Dan Quinn? Not tons around here. Dan Quinn's done a fantastic job. How many people wanted Cliff Kingsbury around here? Not many. How awesome has Cliff Kingsbury been? We'll talk about more about him as overtime continues, because I don't think he's getting enough credit. But this football team is playing incredibly well. And something that Adam Peters did a really good job of, and I think it was very obvious in the draft, in the way that he went about drafting guys that most of the time they were incredibly talented, but when it was a toss-up between going for the more talented guy or someone that maybe fit a little bit better, he went with the guy that fit a little bit better. Because you're starting to see that all of these guys are gelling together and you're seeing improvement. And another thing that hasn't been talked about, Vic and I were talking about this, Slick Vic running the controls tonight. We were talking about this before the show. One thing that hasn't been talked about with this defense, don't get me wrong, I don't think they're very good. But against bad competition, they've handled their business as well. Because everyone goes back and looks at Baltimore and they weren't able to stop them. They weren't. And that's correct. Baltimore is good. They put up 30. You go back to Tampa Bay, week one, 37. Tampa Bay is good. Whether you want to admit it or not, they're a good football team. Basically everyone else, Cincinnati, would qualify as a good offense, so they put up 33 on them. But think about this. The Giants, only 18 points. Arizona, only 14. Cleveland, only 13. Carolina, only 7. This is why I think, for me, going into these games that are, I mean, just looking down the line, some games that you're feeling, okay, these should be cupcake sort of games. You don't want to get ahead of yourself, but like a Tennessee later on in the season, or, you know, even looking ahead to maybe a Giants game in a couple of weeks where who knows if they're even still going with Daniel Jones at that point. Like, those are games before where you're like, oh no, I don't know if I feel good. And this team has handled their business. They've gone out there and they've played well. They've taken care of what they need to do. And obviously going into the Bears game next week, that's a huge opportunity because that's a football team with a winning record. That's a team that's starting to play well. Like, as much as Washington's fan base hasn't engaged in it as much, it's been more so retaliatory when they do. As much as the Chicago crowd wants to worry about who's been better, Caleb or Jaden, it really doesn't matter here, obviously. They didn't ever have a chance to draft Caleb. But both of them look good. Like, both of them look really good. Both of them look like they could be the faces of franchises, as well as potentially Drake May down the line. We haven't seen as much of him, but he's been impressive too. So I don't even need to argue about who's better, this, you know, the inflammatory, like, well, they wish they had Jade. I don't even care about any of that stuff. But I think Caleb coming in here, he's been playing much better of late. He's looking like he's getting more comfortable. This is a big opportunity for them. Now, the big question is going to be about Jaden, and we're going to open the phones coming up at 7 o'clock because I want to get your guys' thoughts on whether you would play him. You know, we learned today that he's considered week-to-week. It's a rib issue. We knew that. We still don't know exactly what it is. I would assume it's not a broken rib. We've heard reports saying that there's no fractures or anything, so it's probably not a broken rib. Is it a rib cartilage thing? Is it a muscle thing? We don't really know what it is. But we'll get into that at 7 o'clock because I want to get your guys' thoughts of whether you would play him or not. But just thinking about what this team did yesterday, it just feels good. It just feels good to know that your football team, the one that you've been behind your entire life, how many times have you gone into those games and you like, we're better, but we know we're going to lose because it's the spot that we always lose in. And that was the spot yesterday. And they won 40-7 with the backup quarterback playing a majority of the game. Let this sink in real quick. Jaden played one drive of football, right? By the time Jaden left the football game, they could have stopped scoring and still won. They had 10 points. Now, 7 of that came from Dante Fowler on the defensive side, but they scored 10 points while Jaden was still in the game. The other team only scored 7. That's how impressive they were yesterday. We got plenty more to talk about. I want to talk about Cliff Kingsbury. I want to talk about how impressive he has been as an offensive coordinator, because, you know, frankly, yesterday, after the first drive or two, once Marcus Mariota started to settle in, the offense didn't look like it missed a beat. So we got to talk about Cliff Kingsbury. I want to talk about looking ahead to next week. Maybe potentially if you have to go with Mariota, how confident would you be? But next, we got to talk about Jaden. Well, here's some of what Dan Quinn had to say at his press conference today, because it gives you a little bit of insight, but there wasn't a whole lot. So if you were sitting in the seat with Dan Quinn and you're making the decision whether he's going to play next week or not, where would you lean? Do you lean on him playing? Do you lean on him sitting? Where do you sit on all of this? 800-636-1067. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We'll keep talking about the Commanders after they won 40-7 over the Carolina Panthers. More to come in overtime here on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 8:45. We'll turn it over to Monday Night Football, Chargers and Cards at that time. Feel free to call in, 800-636-1067. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can always tweet at me, at Toby_Altizer as well. Yesterday, what, 99%, 98% of things were good out there at Northwest Stadium? The sole bad thing was the long run from Jaden Daniels. While the run was awesome, the ending was not. He goes down, comes up holding his rib. He's able to finish off the drive. He comes out of the game. He doesn't return to the game. Today, Dan Quinn, talking to the media, he gave us a little bit of an update on Jaden Daniels.
The status for Jaden we'll put down as week to week. As you guys know, it's a rib injury, and we'll take him through, you know, all the steps at practice and assess how he's doing and keep working it through that. We're hopeful he can play. But we'll also make sure to take every precautionary step and do it smartly for the player and the man.
So the question is, should Jaden play? Will Jaden play? And if you had the choice, would you play Jaden Daniels? 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, or you can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. I mean, it's been the discussion basically all day with anybody around the office here, talking with the Rooster about it earlier, talking, Vic and I were talking about it beforehand, Grant and Danny were talking about it. Basically anyone around here, anyone that cares about this football team, it's the discussion going into next week. And there are plenty of ways that you have to look at it. Obviously, the health of Jaden is number one. And I think the big thing is this something that can get worse? Is this something that down the line could hinder him more? Or is it something that maybe a week or two and he's fully healthy? Or is it something that's truly, hey, if you can play through the pain, you know, a hit to the ribs isn't going to make it worse. We don't know where it falls. We just know it's a rib injury. We know it's been classified as week to week. Some ways when Dan Quinn talked about it later on, it sounded almost like day to day. So the classification of week to week, you know, I don't know. He says they're hopeful to have him against Chicago. I think you can kind of look at it any different way. You know, I heard Rooster earlier basically go from thinking that, okay, I feel like he will play, or at least he was leaning that way, to after hearing Dan Quinn, he said, I kind of lean toward him not playing. Vic and I were texting about this last night. Vic was feeling like he wasn't going to play. He listens to the press conference. Vic, you still feel like he's not going to play, correct?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah, and then for me, I felt like he was going to play. Hearing the press conference, I still feel like he's probably going to suit up. I think he can go any one of hundreds of different ways, depending upon what you want to read into this. I think in reality, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, Vic, I think in reality, when I look at this, I don't know that they know anything. Just from what I heard from Dan Quinn, yeah, they ran some more testing, but it's clearly nothing overly serious, so you can rule out like a fractured rib. You can rule out that sort of stuff because they said it's week to week. They're hopeful he can play against the Bears. So to me, it's nothing long term, but I don't know if they know if it's something that is just a pain tolerance thing or if it's something that can get worse, because I'm not going to have him throw a football today, obviously. He's not going to throw tomorrow with their day off. On Wednesday at practice, I'm probably not having him throw then. Maybe Thursday I have him throw like 20 passes, 15, 20 passes, just to see how he feels so when he comes back in on Friday. Like, I don't know that you're going to get a real answer on this thing, or at least getting closer to understanding what could happen until we get to Wednesday, Thursday, and we probably don't even get a real answer at the earliest till Friday. And I don't even know if you're going with Friday. You might give it until Saturday nights and just see. I don't know. It could go either way at this point. And I think the big thing is, if it is a potential that it could hinder him more than this week, if he gets hit again, then you sit him. If it's something where he can play through some pain, and if he gets hit in the ribs, then and it still doesn't change anything other than the fact that it's going to hurt really, really, really bad, I don't know, maybe you play him. I think it's going to be intriguing. Let's get out to the phone lines, though, 800-636-1067. We'll dive into some more things because I think there's other reasons as well why you either sit him or play him. Let's get out to Alex in Rockville. Alex, what's going on?
Hey, Toby, how are you, man?
Doing great. How about you?
Not bad. So the way I'm looking at it is, obviously, we want to be cautiously optimistic here, right? So judging just based on what my eyes tell me and the eye test is what even Dan Quinn said today in the press conference. If you look at Jaden when he walked off the field yesterday, you could tell when he was lifting his left arm, he kind of like favored it a little bit versus his right arm. So you know that there's pain there and there's something that he can't quite really move his arm as normal as he did his right arm. It was very, very small, but John Kime posted it on his Twitter feed yesterday and I saw it. And to me, it's like, okay, he's definitely sore. There's definitely some pain that he's dealing with there. But forcing him to play in a game against Chicago, I see the importance of it because, yes, the ratings, everybody wants to see Caleb Williams and him go at it. And I get all of that. And, of course, he wants to play. And then I'm sure there's some kind of gamesmanship here where I'm sure Dan Quinn doesn't want to show all his cards. But to me, I think the more important thing is the second game playing the Giants, which is a divisional game. I think it would be a lot better for him to rest, if we need him to rest, to be 100% for that game. That's my opinion on what I think.
Sure, Alex, appreciate the phone call. So to his point, and he brings up some good ones, one of the things that I look at, if this is something where his ribs are hurting and it can get worse, then you do not play him. Okay, so let me say that just straight out. If it's something where he's got something that he takes the hit in the same spot again, and all of a sudden it's worse and he misses a month, 100% sit him down. And if it's something where you have to sit him for 2 weeks till he's back to 100% in that case, then sit him down. I lean towards it not being something like that. And I'm not great with anatomy. I can't break all this stuff down for you. But you've seen other quarterbacks at times, and Jaden's not every other quarterback. A lot of these guys are going to stand in the pocket, and you know the chances of taking a hit directly to your chest like that versus when you're running, you know, you have to weigh some of those options. But I feel like if it's something that he can go out there and it's a pain tolerance deal, pain tolerance only, but if it's a pain tolerance deal, is it something that by the Giants game he suddenly feels better? And I don't know. Maybe he could. Again, this is an interesting injury because to me, you know, if this were a leg injury, Vic, if this were a knee and he's dealing with what like DK Metcalf today we're learning has a grade one MCL, if it were that, sit down and sit down for 2 weeks. If it were something with like a, you know, an elbow or something like that and something, you know, that you feel like you could mess up a ligament or something like that, then sit down. To me, with the rib thing, as long as it's not something that all of a sudden he gets hit and is puncturing a lung, which obviously would be horrendous, as long as it's not something like that, I think it's a little bit different. And if it's a pain tolerance thing, I'm a little more willing to let him go out there and gut it out.
Yeah, but if it's a pain tolerance thing, how is that going to affect him during the game? Like, well, I'm worried about his effectiveness, and if Marcus Mariota showed that he can run this offense, why don't you do it for one more week with Marcus and rest Jaden Daniels? Because even if he's in 90% good bill of health, that 10% worries me, and I don't need him to be in whatever pain he has that could affect the way he plays the game.
Yeah, and I think that's something, I want to get to that in a little bit, because if it affects what he can do as a quarterback, I think you're onto something there, Vic. If it's something where, you know, he's a little hesitant to run outside the pocket, if it's something where, you know, he's obviously has to be smart. We understand that. And by the way, another thing off of this, I heard Sam Fortier ask Dan Quinn today, and it's a good question, whether this should change the quarterback run game. The answer to that is no, by the way. It should absolutely not. That's an injury that could happen all the time. Jaden was running away from guys, and they caught up to him. It was an awkward fall. Chances are he never gets tackled like that again in his career, because I don't see tackles like that all the time in the NFL.
If he went up the sideline, though, there was a little fork in the road that if he cut it up to the sideline, yeah, he would have had less yards, but I guarantee you he wouldn't have been hit the way he was.
Well, and those things, you know, we can go back and nitpick it. Yeah, he maybe goes the sideline. He has a chance to run out of bounds. Jaden, I think, when he cut it back, thought he had a chance to go to the house. And I'm never going to tell him, hey, bud, you know, take that out of your game. It's not like he took some massive hit. You know, how many times, I'm sure, in college, in high school, even this year at times, has he gotten through and run, and when he's got brought down, a guy didn't land on top of him, and it bent his back and ribs in an awkward way. It's just, it's an odd thing. Let's get one more phone call in here before break. Let's get to Luke, who is in D.C. Luke, what's going on?
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I'm not trying to put myself in, obviously, as an elite athlete. I was never. But I had 3 ACL reconstructions, and I also had bruised ribs. And I'll tell you, the pain from the bruised ribs was almost as bad as having my ACL done. And it's almost like you have to trust yourself. It hurts to breathe. It hurts to sleep. So, like I said, I'm not saying that he can't handle it. But it's so uncomfortable. Like, if you have to throw, there's just no way. It's about time. And I think everybody's looking at the long term here, which is the right way to look at it. Just give him a couple weeks so we get the best Jaden, and not forcing anything, because I don't think we're in the position where we need to force it.
Luke, appreciate the phone call. And look, I've never had bruised ribs. From all the accounts that I've heard from anybody that has had a rib injury of any sort that isn't a broken rib still, it's the most painful thing a lot of these people talk about having. I've had ACL reconstruction as well. I can understand. Like, it's unbearable at times, but it's probably more bearable than when you breathe, it hurts. Like, I understand that. So I'm not saying that he should go out there and just, you know, gut it out for the team. I want the long-term approach as well. I also don't want it to be something that everybody's so traumatized by what's happened in the past that you just say, well, I want to make sure he's 150% okay. Look, if he's a football player, you know, if he's able to go out there and play and it's within reason, I don't mind giving him a chance. But if it is something that can get worse, you sit him down. Brandon in Maryland, we see you. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. What do you think the Commanders should do? Should they play Jaden? Should they not play Jaden? We're kind of speculating here on what the injury could be. We just heard it's a rib. He's ruled as week to week. But we're not sure if he's going to be able to suit up against Chicago. If you had the chance, what would you do if you were Dan Quinn? We'll take more of your phone calls next here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Overtime on The Fan. Earlier today, Dan Quinn gave us a little bit of an update on Jaden Daniels. Here's him talking about the rib injury.
The status for Jaden we'll put down as week to week. As you guys know, it's a rib injury, and we'll take him through, you know, all the steps at practice and assess how he's doing and keep working it through that. We're hopeful he can play, but we'll also make sure to take every precautionary step and do it smartly for the player and the man.
Toby Altizer with you until 8:45. Feel free to hop in, 800-636-1067. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can always tweet at me as well, at Toby_Altizer. What do you make of this? Should they play Jaden? Are you sitting Jaden? How worried are you about Jaden? Listed as week to week. I think it's intriguing. I kind of feel like I lean towards there's a chance that he still plays. Plenty of others are saying, okay, just sit him, don't worry about it. What say you? Again, 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's get out to Brandon in Maryland. Brandon, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Can you hear me?
I got you, Brandon. What's going on?
Oh, okay. Hey, what's up, man? Like I told the guy that answered the phone, I'm worried about the next 10 years, not the next 10 games. And I think DQ, he kind of hinted at it today that if it takes, and you just played it, to protect the player. He did that last week with B-Rob. He kind of hinted at that today in the presser as well, where he said he spoke of B-Rob and said that, you know, he had to protect him from himself because B-Rob wanted to go last week. So I think DQ is worried more about the long-term investment because this is an investment, y'all. And, hey, man, just hail to the Commanders, man. We good. We got a good squad, y'all. No matter what, don't let nobody rain on your shine. We have a good squad here in Washington. And we got great staff. We got great everything right now. So let's just ride this wave. Hail to the Commanders, y'all.
Yes, sir, Brandon. Appreciate it. Good phone call. Yeah, I think That's a good point about Brian Robinson when you think about it in that context. Brian Robinson dealing with a knee injury going into Baltimore, and B-Rob was fighting to play. But Dan Quinn looked at him all throughout practice and said, nah, you're just not quite right. He sat him out. He was able to play yesterday and played well. Is that something where you're in the same sort of scenario with Jaden Daniels? We know the competitor, Jaden. If you've seen him at all, you know Jaden's going to be fighting to play in this game. And something we were talking about before the show, Vic, that I think does make some sense here is you need Jaden to be honest with you, but you also understand the competitor in him is going to want to play. So all week long when you're watching him, whether it's throwing the football or not, just watching his movements all week long, whether it is just throwing the football, walking around the building, whatever it is he favoring anything? Keeping an eye on him to understand that, yeah, he's going to want to suit up. And you trust that you could say, hey, are you good to go or are you not? And he'll give you the right answer. But sometimes, you know, players are just going to want to play. And so I do think it does make some sense that, you know, maybe you just sit him just to give him an extra week, even if it's extra precaution. I still feel like he could play. But even if it's something just out of that extra precaution to make sure for the Giants game he's 100%, I think it might be worth it.
I mean, you also have to consider from Dan Quinn's perspective is how bad would he feel if he was to trot Jaden Daniels out and then somehow the same injury or another kind of injury after he just got hurt the previous week, and then he's out for, like, could you imagine how the fan base would treat
sure.
Dan Quinn? I don't think he wants that on his conscience. I think he's going to be, like he said in the clip, they're going to take their precautions. There's just no chance I see Jaden playing at all this upcoming week against Chicago. I would say it's more realistic that he'll play against the Giants, but I mean, I don't see any avenue as to why Jaden should even play in the first place.
Yeah, and if you're a little pessimistic about him playing or you don't want to see him play, I think there's a couple reasons why I think that would make some sense. Obviously, if it's anything that can get worse, that's you sit him. But if you feel like Cliff has to change anything at all, if you feel like Jaden's going to end up playing differently at all, I want to hear from Dan Quinn because he said something that I thought was interesting, talking about how unique of a player Jaden is and dealing with this injury. You don't want him to go out there and not be able to be that completely unique player.
He's such a unique player that I want to make sure he can be him fully in his own way. And the movements, the, you know, throwing and all the stuff that would go with that, as you can imagine. So I know he'll do everything he can, but I'll trust my eyes and certainly know him well. So like I said, we'll take it every step of the way.
And that's the big thing here. So I lean towards thinking he can play, and I think it's more so that I don't think the injury is as serious as other people are reading into it, and that's fine. I think this is something where the facts that have been given so far are week to week, rib injury, hopeful he can play. And that's all we're working off of. So whatever you want to base it off of, you know, we all working off the same little bit of information and making our own details here. But I think if it feels like at all he's going to have to change things, where, you know, if he gets in that same scenario where Cliff Kingsbury calls a read option, reading the right end, first play of the game, keeps it up the right sideline, cuts it back inside. If Jaden's not willing to do any of that, where all of a sudden he's making the wrong read to hand it to Eckler because he doesn't want to get hit by the D end, or he's cutting it up the sideline, and yeah, we'd like to see him protect himself, but, you know, think about even other scenarios. Think about some games where he's had to, on a 4th-and-1, on a keeper. Think about the Cincinnati game. 4th-and-1, keeper. He's got to pick up that yard. He's getting hit by two guys. If he's not able to do that, then don't put him out there. If you're going to limit Cliff or what he's able to do at all, do not play him. Because this offense has been humming. Absolutely humming. Arguably the best offense in the National Football League. Don't change anything. And, I mean, to be honest with you, I know it's Carolina. I know they were not good. I think their defense is horrendous, and you saw that yesterday. The reps that you got for Mariota yesterday were pretty good. And dare I say they might have a shot to still do some stuff with Mariota at quarterback. I don't know how the Commanders' defense will look against Chicago's offense, but there is a shot that you could still do some stuff and execute some plays and be respectable with Mariota at quarterback and allow Jaden to get his rest. I think that's something you do have to consider. It's an interesting dilemma if you're Dan Quinn right now, because it feels like the fan base right now, you're not equating this to Robert Griffin, but you in some ways are, because you've seen this before. You know, we're not talking about they're not similar players. They both could run, and Jaden can throw a whole lot better than Robert. So we've talked plenty about those sorts of things. They're not the same sort of player. But we saw what happened when you had a star quarterback who had an injury, who got put back out on the football field, and it got worse. And not only did it feel like, okay, we lost that guy, you really lost that guy because he was never the same. With Jaden, I don't get that same feeling. And so the reason that I would say if there's a shot, you just play him, if it's something where it's just a pain tolerance thing, is because I don't want it to be that we're so cursed and we feel that way that you're not babying him, but being a little bit too careful. And frankly, for the people on the other side, you're probably better off. You're probably more correct, because being too careful is probably better than being a little bit too aggressive and all of a sudden it ends up being a 4 and 5 and 6 week injury because of it. But one thing that I want to dismiss a little bit is some people are kind of throwing away the Chicago game, like, okay, well, I'll just sit him next week. You'd obviously love to see it. I don't care about the ratings. I don't care about Jaden matching up with Caleb. I know some people are looking at it as like, that game's going to be awesome, and we need to show Chicago because they're talking all this crap about Jaden, and Jaden's going to go off and kick their butts. I don't care about any of that. Honestly, I don't. The reality is, though, yes, the Giants game the following week has a little bit more weight, but I mean, it's a little early to say it maybe, but 7 weeks in, this team is 5-2. You're in a playoff race. Reality is you're in a playoff race. Right now, you'd be a top 4 seed in the NFC. You have one of the best records. So every game matters. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Chicago, New York, Tennessee down the line, New Orleans, Philadelphia in a couple weeks. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Every single game matters. So I could see this going both ways. I wouldn't blame them one bit, though, if they play ultra conservative with their quarterback, because maybe it is something where, like I said, I don't think it's as bad. Again, we're still all speculating. But if it's something that is a pain tolerance thing and they say, you know what, we're not going to make you gut it out. By the way, do not force him out there, for the record. Do not force him. I don't think they would. But do not force him out onto the football field. But maybe they are better off just saying, you know what, let's give him a week off. Let's keep him healthy. And let's get him ready for the Giants game. Because even if I think every game matters. Division games always just have that little bit more. And you're going to need the tiebreakers and all the crazy stuff that goes into the playoff seeding. But I don't know. I think it's really intriguing to see, because we just aren't learning anything. And honestly, I think, like I laid out a little bit earlier, I don't know that you're going to learn anything. So to me, the way I would lay out this week, if I were Dan Quinn, obviously, he's not doing anything today other than watching film and getting work done. Tomorrow, he's coming in for more, get work to be done, whatever they got to do to try and rehab that thing. Wednesday at practice, he's standing off to the side, or he's just getting work done, whatever it is. He's not participating in practice. Thursday, I'd have him out there in a limited fashion. I would have him throw some balls, but not his full work. I might have him throw 10 to 15, maybe up to 20, whatever the case may be, and just see how he feels. If it's something where, if he goes to make his first throw of the week, by the way, and it's like, okay, don't even throw. Don't even bother. But if it's something by Thursday where he can throw the ball a little bit and you feel decent, okay. And then maybe for a Friday walkthrough, you limit him again. And then maybe if you feel like that, you give it up until a true game time sort of decision, where if he goes out there on Sunday, you know, 1 to 2 o'clock, whenever you get him out there for the 4:25 start, and he's throwing the ball around and he doesn't feel anything, then maybe you say, okay, we'll find a way to make this work. We'll give him the chest protector and the stuff that they wear, even though today he said he wasn't going to wear like a flak jacket. He's always still wearing that rib protection. We'll give him that and we'll give it a go. So I think it's one of those things where it's all speculation right now, because frankly, I think they still don't know, to be honest. I don't think they've made up a decision, because they're going to watch it day to day. One more thing from Dan Quinn. He kind of basically alluded to that as they go along this week, as they kind of evaluate him and watch him from day to day, they'll learn more.
He is, at his core, a true competitor. We wouldn't expect anything different than that, but we'll really trust, you know, our eyes, the medical staff, and like I said, we're going to make sure, John, we assess this every day and make sure when he's able to be him fully in that space, you know, then we'll let it rip. But we'll just take it, you know, as we're going through the whole week. We got practice to assess and movements and going through it, and then each day we'll have a better update.
And I think that's truly going to be the case. As you watch him every single day, I think they'll learn more and more. But it's going to be intriguing because it would be a heck of a matchup against Chicago Sunday afternoon if he's able to suit up. But I wouldn't blame them whatsoever if they don't want to risk it. But let's live on the other side hypothetically. If Marcus Mariota needs to make the start for Washington against Chicago, how confident would you be that they could still win that football game? 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. If Mariota's forced into action, once again, can they get it done? What say you? We'll take some of your phone calls next here on The Fan. It's overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 8:45. Then we'll turn it over to the second Monday night football game. The Chargers taking on the Cardinals in Arizona. Right now we're talking about Marcus Mariota. The potential is that he could be starting for Washington going into the Chicago game on Sunday. How confident would you be with this team potentially getting a win if Mariota does have to make the start for Washington? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So yesterday, just taking a look at a stat line, 18 of 23, 205 passing yards and two touchdowns, no picks, took one sack. He also ran the ball 11 times for 34 yards. Couple things. You know, he didn't look as comfortable as a passer as Jaden has looked, but I don't know that he's ever at any point in his career been a better passer in terms of ability inside the pocket like Jaden. So I don't know that that's ever going to happen, just some of the footwork and the way that he was going about things. And he's not nearly as dynamic anymore with his legs like Jaden. That being said, he gives you Jaden Daniels lights, right? He can do a little bit of the stuff necessary for this offense. And, you know, I think the thing that Cliff does a good job of is he's not always asking this quarterback to do too much. You know, there were plays where it broke down and he was able to make some things happen, but it's not like he's asking anything crazy. And I think going into a game against Chicago, I think you got to lean on that run game anyways. You know, yesterday, Brian Robinson, 12 carries for 71 yards. McNichols had 7 carries. Eckler had 4 carries. I think you got to up those numbers a little bit. Some of it is the quarterback run game. You know, they ended up with 37 total carries on the day for 214 yards. So they did have an effective run game with 200-plus yards. But against Chicago, that feels like a 15 to 18 to 20 carry game for Brian Robinson. That feels like getting Eckler, you know, 7-8 carries and a couple catches out of the backfield. Depending upon who the quarterback is, it doesn't really matter. You're probably still running them a couple of times on those read options and quarterback design runs at times. Because that's another thing that they should not change the quarterback run game. They shouldn't. They it's a big part of this offense. They understood the risk of it. And Jaden has every chance of getting hurt inside the pocket just like he did running down the field. And there's a difference in the stuff that they've dialed up so far, and Jaden's done a really good job of protecting himself really the last couple of weeks. But the difference of what they've dialed up so far and the stuff that I would never have in the playbook is they've worked on the perimeter. They've run read option sorts of things. It's not like they're running quarterback power up the middle like Cam Newton with Carolina back in the day, where it was just like, let's pull everyone inside and we're running up the gut. They're not doing that. They're running stuff to the perimeter, and Jaden's not taking big hits. Now, obviously, the stuff yesterday was kind of a fluke. But even so, coming back whenever it is, whether it's Sunday, whether it's next week against the Giants, even if it has to be a couple weeks down the road, they shouldn't change the way that they're calling these games. It's why they're being successful. You know, part of the reason that the run game's able to be successful is you're taking essentially one guy out of the run game when you have the quarterback with the ability to keep it. Part of the reason that, you know, the whole reason that Jaden's able to get that long run yesterday is they're running a read option. If you don't understand what that is, you're literally leaving the end unblocked. You're leaving him unblocked, and whatever decision he makes is the wrong one. If he dives in, the quarterback keeps it and goes around the edge. You saw Jaden keep it for 46 yards. If the end stays there, you hand it off to Brian Robinson or Austin Ekeler or the running back up the middle. And so that helps in the run game, too, just with Brian Robinson, because suddenly this edge player that's going to try to crash down the line is no longer crashing down the line to get that guy. He's waiting on Jaden and making sure he doesn't keep it. Then he's going. And so if you start calling things differently, you're going to hurt your running game, not just the quarterback run game, just the run game period. And if you notice, if you go back and watch some of these plays, every single one of these basic run plays up the middle has options in it, whether it's the quarterback keeping it, whether it's throwing it outside to one of these receivers running a screen play, whether it's trying to find the slant in behind the linebackers if they come down to play the run. There's just options all over the place. And so even if Mariota has to go out there, I think that he can run some of this stuff because it's just about making the right decision. And he doesn't have to be exceptional. You know, Jaden a lot of times can make the wrong play right. We've seen that. I don't know if Mariota has as much of that ability, but I do think he has an ability to run the offense. I think he has an ability to go through some things. And yes, he was playing Carolina, but I think having those opportunities yesterday to be able to go out there against some live action against an NFL team, I think it's good for him. I think it's something that they're going to be able to build off of going into this week, because even if Jaden plays on Sunday, I don't think he's going to practice in full at all week. So Mariota is going to get these reps. So even if, you know, it's something we're going down to game time trying to make a decision on whether it's Jaden or not, Mariota is going to be ready to roll. He's going to be the guy practicing all week.
What do you think about him using his tight ends? I mean, he got Zach Ertz involved. He got Sinnott involved. I think, you know, if you see Mariota, you know, starting on Sunday, I think we're going to expect a lot of Zach Ertz heavily involved in the game plan.
Yeah, and I think it's just something where these guys are, he's comfortable in this system, I think. He's comfortable in what he's asked to do. And I go back to Cam Taylor-Britt calling this a college offense, and it was viewed as a slight, and maybe he meant it as a slight. I don't know if he did or not. But in a lot of ways, he's not wrong, the way that they run a lot of this stuff. Like, if you watch some of this stuff that Mariota's doing, does it not look like he's wearing 8 back in the green and yellow at Oregon, some of the stuff that they're doing? He's not the same athlete anymore. But this guy at one point was a number 2 overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, just like the quarterback you have. Now, they're not all that similar in terms of the capability as a passer in my mind coming out. You know, Jaden just looked light years ahead as a passer, especially early on in his career compared to Mariota. But they were similar styles of player in college. And so you're seeing them able to kind of work with the strengths of these guys. Like, there was a formation that they ran yesterday, and this goes back to the college offense sort of comment, stuff that they're not typically running in the NFL that this team is running. There was a formation yesterday where Mariota's lined up in the gun. I believe it was McNichols in the regular spot to his left. And then standing directly behind McNichols was Austin Ekeler. It was a weird-looking formation, but it's stuff where if you're a defense, you don't see this stuff. And they've whipped out some different stuff, some different-looking formations, some different things all year. And it's stuff to allow the offense to just have that leg up. And that's where Kliff has done a fantastic job. And so to me, if you have to go into this game with Marcus Mariota at quarterback, I wouldn't say I feel greatly confident. It's not something where I'm going to predict a win over Chicago more than likely if Mariota has to start, but I'm also not giving them no chance.
I would say he's capable. I think he's capable. Yeah, is the right word.
I think that is the right word. He's capable. It's not like he's going to elevate. It means everyone's going to else is going to have to step up their game. Ertz, like you said, will be a big part of it. Maybe Sinnott gets more involved again. Terry McLaurin's going to have one of his better games of the year. Brian Robinson's going to run the ball incredibly well. You know, Austin Ekeler's going to have to be a big part of the game plan. Maybe McNichols is a big part of the game plan as well, just so you're getting more running backs involved and spreading the wealth there. The other receivers are going to have to step up more so than usual. So I think there's still an opportunity that even if you have to go with Mariota, it's not something where you just have to feel like it's a lost cause. And if that's something you want to factor into the Jaden decision, then, you know, maybe that is something where you feel like you've got a capable backup, even though, like I talked about earlier, this is a real playoff race at this point, even though it's only been 7 weeks of the season. You're 5-2. You're up there as one of the top teams in the NFC. Maybe you look at it as, okay, Jaden could play if he had to, but we don't need him to. So let's give him another week, assuming that's the case. But let's just give him another week and let Mariota go out there and we'll see what happens. And maybe that's something that plays into the consideration, and then you throw him back in and against the Giants. It's just intriguing because I think one thing that this offense has done a really good job of is not making the quarterback have to be Superman all that often. And sometimes they can. Sometimes Jaden has this year. And at times there haven't been good plays that he's turned into good plays. But I think Cliff has done a fantastic job of making it easy for these quarterbacks to go out there and be successful. And you saw it yesterday with Marcus Mariota. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. If they have to go with Mariota on Sunday, if that's the case, how confident are you that they can still get a win against the Chicago Bears? Again, 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. More to come here on The Fan. Overtime on The Fan, Toby Altizer with you for basically another full hour. Then we'll turn it over to Monday Night Football here on The Fan. Two games tonight. You got Baltimore taking on Tampa Bay. That'll kick off in about 20 minutes or so, and then we got the Chargers and the Cardinals right here on The Fan for you tonight. So one thing that I wanted to talk about, too, with Mariota potentially having to get the start is Cliff Kingsbury, he's not getting enough credit. He's really not getting enough credit for what he has done. In that, you know, you look at this offense, it's been one of the best in the league. It's been arguably the best in the league. And he's someone that when he was hired, I don't know how many people were thrilled about the hire. You know, I think some people had the misconception that he was going to bring the air raid and it was only going to throw the ball. I didn't necessarily feel like he was going to be, you know, only like Eric Bieniemy and just only throw the football. I felt like he was going to bring a balanced offense and he was going to be a little bit better in that sense. But I didn't think, frankly, I thought he was going to run a college offense, like what Cam Taylor-Britt said. I thought it was going to be ineffective, and it wasn't going to be an offense that was going to be successful at the NFL level. And I've been incredibly wrong. Been very, very wrong. And one thing, too, that we've seen with Cliff in the past is he gets off to a good start, and then teams adjust, and then he's not able to continue playing at that sort of a level. You think back to his time in Arizona, and it happened all the time. I mean, I can't count the couple of seasons there where Kyler Murray was basically an MVP candidate for the first 8 weeks of the season, and then he'd get a little dinged up, and then the rest of the year it just wasn't good. It just wasn't good by Cliff Kingsbury and what he was able to accomplish with Kyler Murray. Versus what he's been able to do out here has just been incredibly impressive, and I think the big thing is, and we've talked about it basically the last couple of weeks, is it feels sustainable. You know, what this offense has been able to do feels like you can continue this week over week, because how much of this offense has been based on the run game? You know, this rushing attack has been very, very good all season long. It's been something you feel like you can depend on. And honestly, it's part of why I was impressed by what Jaden was able to do against Lamar out there in Baltimore. Was they didn't have the run game show up that day. And so a little more was on Jaden's plate, and they were still right there. But basically all season long, Jaden and the run game has been very, very good. They've depended on Brian Robinson. I think you saw yesterday they really need Brian Robinson in the run game. He is such a big contributor for them. His style of running is just something that no one else on the team can replicate. I mean, look at the touchdown run. He gets the ball, runs up the middle. He sees two dudes there at the 3-yard line and says, you know what? I'm not going to go around them. I'm not going to go over them. I'm just going to go right through them. And what does he do? He gets into the end zone. They don't have that style of runner in the other guys, and that's fine, but they need that sort of bruiser because they have kind of the lightning around in some of the other spots. Like, you know, we know Eckler as the pass catcher, but he's and a shifty little scat back. McNichols is kind of the same way. And then you have the run game element with the quarterbacks, and obviously they're both fast. You know, Jaden's much faster than Marcus Mariota at this point, but they're both fast and more shifty speed sort of runners. They only have one dude in terms of running the football on the team that is that bruiser, I'm going to run through you sort of guy, and it's Brian Robinson. And I think they need that sort of mentality when they go into these football games just to have one of those dudes because it wears you down. I mean, can you imagine trying to tackle Brian Robinson? The thing that I like about him, too, is he runs behind his pads. You see some guys that are a little bit bigger like that, and they don't necessarily plow through. You know, I covered a guy in Green Bay for a time when I was in Milwaukee with A.J. Dillon, and everyone loves him up there, but he's a big dude and never felt like he ran behind his pads. Like, run behind your pads when you're one of those power backs and beat through dudes, and nobody's going to want to tackle you. And I think B-Rob understands who he is as a runner and gets behind his pads and runs. You know, it's not like he doesn't try to wiggle. He doesn't try to do any of this fancy stuff. He understands I'm here to run people over, and that's what I'm going to do. And so I appreciate that from B-Rob. But I think overall, what this team has been able to accomplish this year with this coaching staff, and specifically Cliff Kingsbury, has been remarkable. I don't know a single person that their first option for their offensive coordinator was Cliff Kingsbury. And yet it's the guy that they brought in, and he's been one of the best assistant coaches all year long in the National Football League with what he's been able to dial up. And this is unscientific. This isn't something that you can necessarily quantify in terms of numbers. But I'm watching the New York Jets last night play the Pittsburgh Steelers. And man, did their offense look hard. It looked so hard to move the football. And then I go back and watch Washington, and the ball moves so easily. Just moves easily. Everything that they're doing just feels fluid, and everything kind of works together, and it feels like they're working to a common goal of moving the football, and it just looks simple. I can't quantify it. I don't know exactly what the perfect mix there is, but you watch other teams play, and it looks hard. You watch Washington this year, and it looks easy. And part of that is the players, but a lot of that is Cliff Kingsbury. And you got to give him a lot more credit than he's getting right now. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to take a look at the overall standing so far for these divisions and in the National Football League. Where is Washington? Let's just be honest. Where are they at? We talked about starting off saying they're a good football team. Just how good are they? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Final 45 minutes here on Overtime on The Fan. Got two Monday Night Football games kicking off tonight. Baltimore and Tampa Bay about to get underway in about 10 minutes. 9 o'clock tonight, Chargers and Cardinals. You can hear it right here on The Fan. Chargers and Cards out in Arizona. Toby Altizer with you till 8:45. So taking a look at just the overall standings in the National Football League. Vic, maybe going back and forth here, we can kind of spitball a power rankings and just see where we think Washington's at. You know, maybe early just look at some of these top teams in the NFL and figure out where they're at. Because the reality is right now, as things stand, there are only, and as things stand, it's not going to change, but with tonight's results, there's only three teams with a better record. There are plenty of teams that are at 5-2 and could get to 5-2 tonight. But as of right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are 6-0. The Detroit Lions are 5-1, and Minnesota is 5-1. Those are the only teams ahead of Washington right now. You've got the Texans at 5-2, got Pittsburgh at 5-2, Buffalo's at 5-2, Green Bay's at 5-2. Tampa and Baltimore both at 4-2. One of those teams will be at 5-2 tonight. I mean, so you look at this and Washington has to be considered one of the best teams in the National Football League. I think in reality, you got to put them inside the top 10. I don't think there's any question about that. But maybe it's simpler. Let's just go through and take a look at some of these teams and figure out who are they better than, who are they not. So Kansas City, I think they deserve to be at number one, right? I don't think there's any question. I know they haven't played the best, but they are also undefeated. They're the only undefeated team.
Are we factoring in Jane Daniels' health, or are we just saying he's 100%?
Just saying where they're at right now. Yeah, just factor in like what they've done so far, where we're at, and just assume health right now for Jaden. So I think Kansas City's number one. I think Detroit deserves to be ahead with how they've played. So Detroit would be there. Minnesota with their record, you think?
I'm actually going to go Detroit number one.
Okay.
I think their offense is way better than Kansas City's right now. So I would have, even though Kansas City hasn't lost, they've been ugly wins, you would say, but Detroit has had impressive wins more than Kansas City. I go Detroit one and Kansas City two.
Okay. Yeah. So I think you just toss some of these up, but yeah, I think those two teams, Baltimore, I think is in there for me. I think Baltimore's somewhere in that mix of the top three, depending upon what happens tonight. But I think they're somewhere in that top three. How about Minnesota? Do you feel like they're above Washington?
I don't think so. I think Washington's better than Minnesota.
So the only reason I would have some concern about that is I still don't believe in Washington's defense against a good opponent. I don't know that, you know, let's say this week against Chicago, I don't have really any trust that Washington's defense is going to provide much resistance to Chicago's offense. Now, against New York, I feel fine. Against Tennessee down the line, I feel fine. I don't know about some of these teams with actual good offenses. So I think I would still take Minnesota because you look at what they've done against good teams. Against good teams. Like, you look at San Francisco. I know San Francisco was maybe not a great team right now, but they held them to 17. They held Houston to 7. They beat Green Bay. They held the Jets to 17. The Jets aren't great, but they still held them to 17. And they held the Lions in check a lot of the game. Like, it wasn't as typical explosive Lions. Then they finally started getting going. They weren't able to stop as much. But I still feel like that defense is kind of an enigma that's just so unique. I would take Minnesota over Washington. But, okay, so we're looking at a couple of teams here. So if you say over Minnesota, I don't necessarily think so. How about Houston? Houston's 5-2. Washington over Houston or no?
I think I'll go Houston.
Yeah, I think I would take Houston too, although I had their game on yesterday watching them against Green Bay, and they did not look very impressive. Now, Green Bay's defense looks legit, but just in case you didn't get a chance to look at some of these numbers, C.J. Stroud yesterday, what do you think, Vic? Over 190, over or under 90 yards?
Over.
Passing, 86 wow. on the day. 10 of 21, 86 yards, no picks, no but touchdowns.
Houston had a couple of drives starting at the Green Bay 11.
Yeah, and Mixon had a great day, 25 carries, 115 yards, but they really didn't have a whole lot going. And to be frank, this should not have been a game, but Green Bay allowed it to be a game the way that they played. So I don't know. I think I would still take Houston. You know, it's one of those things, if they were playing, I'd probably take Houston. But at the same point, the way Washington's been playing, it's so tough, Vic, to do some of these things.
Yeah.
Because when you think about Washington's offense, the way that they've been really since they've started getting going, it feels like they score every time they touch the ball. So it doesn't matter who you play. As long as their offense doesn't score every single time, you feel like you've got a shot. I mean, the numbers that this offense is putting up, I mean, just seriously listen to these numbers. 20-21 to start the year. Since then, 38, 42, 34, 23, 40. I mean, like, this, it's not like the offense is struggling really at all. And once they started getting things going a little bit, they struggled in the first quarter or so against Baltimore, but they started to be able to move the football. It seemed like, you know, one thing too with Jaden, it's why I'm still encouraged about what he's going to be able to do, regardless of if he plays this week or not. It's like, you still see places where he needs to grow. Like, when he played in Baltimore, he still had some jitters. You saw that early on, and he wasn't comfortable. Now, imagine once he starts playing defenses like that a little bit more and kind of understands what they're throwing at him. I mean, once he gets into those sorts of games and he's used to it, look out.
I feel like we scored more points in these amount of games, 7 games, than we did all last year. Or maybe the last 2 seasons.
It does seem like it. It does seem like it. 218 points on the year so far for Washington. All right, so Texans, I think, I don't know. I might take Washington over Houston at this point. But again, that's close. Pittsburgh, would you take Washington over Pittsburgh? I think I would.
Yeah, although Russell Wilson last night kind of redeemed himself a little
for
1 week. But I mean, but the thing is, Mike Tomlin's a heck of a head coach.
He is.
And it's one of those.
I owe him an apology.
It's hard to bet against Mike Tomlin.
I owe him an apology, by the way. I hated his decision to go with Russell Wilson. Looked like he was right yesterday. We'll see if that continues on.
That's why he can't go against that guy.
Did you see him yesterday get asked by Brandon Marshall, the former receiver, walked into his press conference and said, hey, did you feel like it was a bit of a gamble to go with Wilson over Fields? And he said, that's why I get compensated handsomely. It must be nice. Must be nice. Buffalo Bills. You taking the Bills or the Commanders?
I think Amari Cooper kind of sways it a little bit. So, yeah, I'll take the Bills.
Yeah, I think the Bills as well. I think that Josh Allen's playing really well. And I think if he can continue playing like he did early in the season, adding in a true weapon now with Amari Cooper, I think you could see something special with the Bills this year. Maybe that's what they needed, was to, instead of doing it for a full season, sometimes we've seen with quarterbacks, I think back to Matthew Stafford. Remember when Matt Stafford had Calvin Johnson? He was good. Don't get me wrong. He was awesome. But it was almost like when you removed Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford had to learn how to play quarterback versus just throwing it to 81. And all of a sudden, he improved himself as a passer. Feels like Josh Allen, for a couple of weeks, had to improve himself as a passer because he no longer had the security blanket of Stephon Diggs. Now you add back in a legit weapon. I think, yeah, I would take Buffalo with Amari Cooper now.
Although they let Tennessee hang around a little bit too much.
But Tennessee's defense is legit. Tennessee's defense is legit. Green Bay, 5-2, over or under the Commanders?
Man. It's one of those things where Green Bay was playing in Washington. I would take Washington. If Washington was playing in Lambeau Field, I think I would pick Green Bay.
Yeah, and one thing, too, it's crazy to say because their quarterback is one of the top. I can't remember what the contracts were. It was crazy with some of the contracts this offseason. Is he still the highest paid quarterback? Either way, Jordan Love at one point was the highest paid, unless someone passed him, quarterback in the NFL. He has 15 touchdowns and 8 picks. He throws for 2 a game and throws a couple picks a game, too.
Brett Favre.
He's very Brett Favre-esque.
He fits Green Bay perfectly.
I think I saw someone from my time up there that had tweeted a picture because he wore a Favre jersey walking into one of the games a couple weeks ago.
I think
since then he's thrown like 10 touchdowns and 7 picks.
They just said, hey, just go out there and gunsling it. Just do it.
If Jordan Love can contain himself a little bit and reel it in a little bit, I would take Green Bay. But because he hasn't been able to, this offense gets it done, and I think they could find a way. So, yeah, I'll take Washington over them. Tampa, they beat Washington in week one. If they matched up right now, though, I think it would be a good game. I don't know if it changes the results, but it felt like Tampa was going to win that one all along. I think if they matched up again right now, the way that Jaden is playing, again, we're assuming Jaden's health. We're not necessarily speculating if he plays against Chicago in this now. But I think if they played this week, I'd feel pretty good. Like, to me, Jaden now versus Jaden then is like two totally different quarterbacks. And yeah, it's not like it's been that long.
Even the defense, maybe. You know, we'll find out.
Just a couple more. Chicago, I think that's a big measuring stick game coming in here next Sunday. Philadelphia, I don't think there's any question. So I think you're looking at this. Kansas City for sure is above. Detroit for sure is above. Minnesota is kind of a toss-up. Houston is a bit of a toss-up. Pittsburgh, did we say yes about, or Washington's above Pittsburgh?
I have Pittsburgh only because of Mike Tomlin.
Okay.
You can sway me maybe the other way, but I have Pittsburgh.
So Pittsburgh's above. So that's four definitively. I think there's only like four, five, six teams.
So I would say they're a fifth, top five, or even six best in the league
right now. Yeah, they fit somewhere in that range. Yeah. Even if it's not top five, it's no lower than probably eighth. Who would have thought we'd be saying that after seven games? After seven games. And now, you know, the criticisms are real if you want to look at it and say, okay, well, they've got to beat somebody for real, sure. But when they've played bad teams, they've taken care of business. They handled their business yesterday 40-7 over the Panthers. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the Commanders and then get you set for some Monday Night Football here on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 8:45. Taking you up until the second game of Monday Night Football. Chargers and Cardinals tonight here on The Fan. Right now, Tampa just scored a touchdown. Mike Evans with a touchdown to put Tampa up on Baltimore with the first possession of that game. Talking about the Commanders game, though, yesterday, they won 40-7. I don't know if I can say that enough, Vic. Like, they won 40-7. 40
doesn't seem right.
To 7, right? Like, when's the last time you felt like that against any team? Well, that's right, a couple of weeks ago against Cleveland. Like, they've just blown teams out at home. It's insane. But, again, you got to give credit to...
By the way, sorry, does it feel like a home field advantage now?
100% does.
When was the last time we had that kind of feeling?
100% does.
RG3 era? Maybe not. I don't know.
It came through on the television that it seemed like there was a home field advantage. A couple of the guys, you know, Ryan Clary was over there, obviously JP and Grant. It sounded like there was a great atmosphere over there. I was there for the Browns game. It was a great atmosphere for that one. I mean, this fan base is coming back in droves. And Jake DeLome was on Beamich and Finley today, and he was saying, for next year, get ready for a lot of primetime slots for this football team, and he's dead on. People are going to want to watch this team. People already want to watch this team. It just doesn't feel normal. One of the things, too, that I want to give credit to this team for, and specifically Adam Peters, is look at some of the guys that he's brought in and the impact that they're making on this football team right away. Bobby Wagner, and Bobby Wagner's played good on the football field. He's played well. But I think when you think about his impact and what he brings to this football team, he adds into what we talked about to begin the show, where this team isn't just winning games that are against bad teams. They're not just finding a way to squeak by in these winnable games. They are demolishing their competition in these games. And I think he adds into that. Dan Quinn is preaching, hey, we're just worried about ourselves. You know, the coaches are preaching those things. But you ask any player about what they remember when they played on a really good football team, and they talk about it being player-driven. The guys motivate themselves. The leadership in the locker room gets them going. What do you think Bobby Wagner's doing? What do you think he was brought in to do? He's a huge reason why this team takes care of business when they need to take care of business. He's a big reason why yesterday was a 40-7 ball game and not a 27-24 game like we've seen in the past, right? He's a big reason why they just go out there, they go do their thing. They don't worry about who they're playing. So a credit to Bobby Wagner, a credit to Adam Peters for bringing someone here. It's also a credit to Dan Quinn. Because when you think about it, I don't know how many people wanted Dan Quinn as their first choice, or even their second choice, or maybe even at all in some cases. But when Dan Quinn came over, think about how many people are here because of Dan Quinn. And I'm not talking just about the players, because I don't know that Luvu's here without Dan Quinn. I don't think Bobby Wagner for sure is here without Dan Quinn. But Anthony Lynn, Brian Johnson, do they bring in Cliff, Joe Witt? Think about all these people that would not be here if it weren't for DQ. And I think the one thing that we were sold on, that people always told us about, everyone tried to tell us when Dan Quinn was hired, was he's a leader. He's going to bring these guys together, and everyone loves Dan Quinn. Whether you believed it or not, whether you bought into it or not, it's pretty obvious that they were dead on. Because you just look at this football team right now and the people that he brought over, the people that wanted to come here to play with Dan Quinn, to play for Dan Quinn, to coach with Dan Quinn, it's been impressive. And I don't think you can credit it enough. And that goes back to even Adam Peters as well. Think about Frankie Luvu and the impact he brings for this defense. I mean, you see the locker room videos and the intensity that he brings. And he brings it in the locker room pregame at halftime, but just watch him play football. Just watch him play. He brings it every single snap that he's on the football field. And this is what excited me about the defense. I think they need some corners and some edge rushers before they can really unlock what they want to do. And it's why I think they do well against bad teams and they struggle against good teams. I think against bad teams, their scheme is working and they're able to let things happen and they are able to be successful with what they're trying to do. I think they try the same things in large part against good football teams, and the talent on the outside is just too much, and they win their matchups, and it's not as effective. But when you go back and watch some of these games, and the way that Luvu's lining up at edge rusher one snap, he's lining up over the guard one snap, he's rushing from the linebacker position, he's all over the place. You heard them bring it up on the broadcast yesterday that essentially Luvu is playing the Micah Parsons role in this defense, but they simplified it to let him play a little bit faster. Because I think Luvu's a little bit different than Parsons in terms of play style. Parsons is arguably the best defensive player in football when he's on the field. But Luvu gives you a lot of the same sorts of traits that Parsons has. He's able to line up wherever you want him to line up. He's an incredible rusher, and his motor is relentless. I love watching Frankie Luvu. This guy brings an energy and a tenacity to this defense that they have just lacked. They just haven't had it. And so I think when you get that sort of a guy there, it makes everyone else play with that little bit of a nasty streak that they just haven't had for a while on this defensive side of the football. They needed someone to bring it because they have talent over there, and maybe not enough right now for this to be a good defense. And I don't know that even if they brought in a guy or two at the deadline, I don't know that it changes it into suddenly a good defense. But it brings something to this defense that they just have not had, to have that tenacity and drive for the football that Frankie Luvu brings. The other guy we got to point out, brought in, he's kind of been a journeyman. He now leads the team in sacks. He has a pick six yesterday. Dante Fowler. How many people were fired up when they brought in Dante Fowler this offseason? He's got 4.5 sacks on the year. He's got a pick. He's more so just a situational edge rusher thrust into some more duty because of some injuries and because of different things they've got to do. But he's been fantastic. He's been really good. It's been impressive to watch him do what he's been doing. Farrell on the other side's been good. I want to see this defense take the next step against a good football team next week in the Chicago Bears, because to me, they've looked like two totally different units when they play a good and respectable football team versus when they play a bad, horrible football team. But you're at least seeing glimpses, even though it's against the bad teams, you're at least seeing glimpses of what this defense can be. I think you start adding some pieces. I think what this gives you, the encouraging part about it, talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I don't know how much the defense is going to change overall in terms of results, because the personnel's not going to largely change. But what this gives me confidence in is what Dan Quinn and Joe Witt Jr. are trying to do is good and sound. It's just they don't have the people to run everything that they're trying to do against a good football team yet. And that's something you work on in the offseason. But you got to give credit to Adam Peters. In one offseason, and we didn't even go to the offensive side of the ball with a guy like Zach Ertz, with what they've done with Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman. We're not even talking about the draft picks. Just what they've been able to do. You think of like Olamide Zaccheaus and the role he's played, Noah Brown. Like what they've been able to do with the guys that they have brought in. Ron's not getting a ring because half or more of Ron's players are gone. This is a totally new football team, and this totally new football team is 5-2 and on to bigger and better things than they have been in a long, long time. Take a break. We'll wrap up Overtime on The Fan next. Final couple minutes here on Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until the second Monday Night Football game. Currently the Bucks over the Ravens in the first game, 7-0. Real quick, Mike Evans with a touchdown catch to kick things off for the Buccaneers. Is there a receiver that doesn't get talked about enough like Mike Evans? This guy's gone over 1,000 in every year of his NFL career. Just listen to these stats. Every year of his career, 1,051 as a rookie in 2014 with 12 touchdowns, 1,200 yards with 3 touchdowns in 2015, 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns, just over 1,000, 1,001 and 5 touchdowns, 1,500 yards and 8 touchdowns, 1,150 and 8 touchdowns, just over 1,000, 13 touchdowns, 1,035, 14 touchdowns. 1,124, 6 touchdowns. Last year, 1,255 and 13 touchdowns. And he's well on his way to another 1,000-yard season. I mean, when we're talking about best receivers in the NFL, over the last decade, he doesn't get mentioned enough. This guy's just consistent as could be. He doesn't talk a whole lot. I think that plays into it. You don't see him in commercials. But all he does is go out there and make plays on the football field. Mike Evans is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. It looks like he might be a little bit gimpy, but he's on the football field. But regardless, this guy goes out there every single year and just balls out. Balls out. It's incredible to watch. And if you're not watching the Buccaneers and you haven't had a chance, appreciate this dude because he's one heck of a football player.
He's the Ryan Zimmerman of the NFL.
Yeah, but Zim didn't hit 300 every year.
Yeah.
You know, like...
I just had to work something baseball related in that analogy.
Well, sure. Let's go a little bit of baseball here as we wrap up. Just a couple more minutes here before we turn it over to some more football. Over the weekend, we watch... I don't know how people feel about this, but you watch Juan Soto hit a 3-run home run in the 10th inning to send the Yankees to the World Series as they beat the Guardians in Game 5. And then you watch the Dodgers beat the Mets, which I think most Nats fans, if not all Nats fans, were happy. The Dodgers beat the Mets. So now the Mets are done. In turn, you're watching a Dodgers-Yankees World Series. I mean, Major League Baseball went from last year having the Rangers and the Diamondbacks and so many people saying, oh, this World Series sucks. Nobody likes this. This is dumb. I'm not going to watch, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, I don't care about that stuff. Like, just give me baseball. Give me the World Series. I don't care who gets there. I'm not worried about what their ratings are going to be.
Even if it's the Rays and the Marlins in the World Series, I'd still watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't bother me. I'm not caring about what they... Believe it or not, Vic, I know we work in radio. I know we work at, like, ratings matter, but... I don't think if the Rays and the Marlins made it that all of a sudden baseball would implode because the ratings would be so bad.
Yeah.
So I don't care. But for all the people that were complaining about...
It would suck, though.
For all the people that were complaining about Rangers and Diamondbacks last year, you got your wish. Yeah. Yankees, Dodgers in the World Series. Do you love it or hate it, Vic?
It sucks because I don't like both of these teams. I think it's been, 41 years since we've had a New York LA championship.
Well, you know how many people are going to hate watch this? You know how many people are going to be like, I hate both of these teams? And they're going to be like, but I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I can't stand either of these teams, but I'm tuning in.
I honestly, as I'm sure Nats fans will probably be like, they're rooting for the players as opposed to
Rooting for the Dodgers.
I mean, some people might be rooting for the Yankees because of Juan Soto, or I'm going to root for Daniel Hudson and the Dodgers.
I'm going to root for the Dodgers. I'm going to root for Soto every time he comes up.
What if we have a Daniel Hudson versus Juan Soto, two outs in the ninth inning? Like, what if you have a Hudson-Soto matchup that potentially could win the World Series?
Let me put it this way, Vic. I don't want the Yankees to win unless somehow the Yankees winning makes Juan Soto more likely to sign back here in D.C.
Yeah, what is the right scenario we need that gets Juan Soto potentially back to D.C.?
Whatever that scenario is, if it's something where he loses in the World Series and he feels like, I have unfinished business here in New York, I need to go back.
Yeah.
Then go ahead and win this year you can come back home. But whatever it is.
But he might have more incentive to stay in New York if they win. So
maybe, but maybe not.
We'll never know.
Maybe he can go win his ring in New York and feel like he wants to come home to D.C. Listen, Juan, if you're listening, we love you. Come home. I don't know that helps add another zero to the end of whatever is being offered, but we do miss you. You can come home whenever, and we will gladly embrace you.
We'll make room in the outfield for you.
Absolutely. Real quick, I know we got all week before it gets underway on Friday, but Vic, who you got in the World Series? How long is it going to go?
I got the Yankees winning in six.
Yankees in six for Slick Vic. I'm going to go, I'll go the opposite. I'll go Dodgers in six. Now, the thing that worries me and the thing that I think does give the Yankees the edge, despite the Dodgers being favored, is they've got pitching. Do you trust the Dodgers pitching? I don't.
No, that's why I got the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be intriguing. I mean, how can it be better, though? Shohei... You've got Judge, you've got Stanton, you've got Soto, you've got Mookie Betts, you've got Freddie Freeman. It's a star-studded series. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to love to hate watch it.
100%. I'm rooting for both teams to lose somehow. Vic, appreciate you hanging out. I'm Toby Altizer. Appreciate you all listening. Monday Night Football comes up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.